Well, this morning we're going back over. I started a teaching on a subject. We'll see if we'll go with notes today or what. But we started with tongues is really the door to the supernatural. This is really an important subject in the Bible because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I started as a Christian, but when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, to me it was like getting born again and again. It just transformed my life. When I really got into things before that time, I would see the supernatural in operation and that stuff through others or read about it. But it was another thing that this life was not just for somebody else. This life was for me. And as I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach it, at first when I'd listen to his teaching, it was like, you know, I knew things about the supernatural from things I was involved in the other camp, on the devil's side. But getting over in Christian side, really, I was never raised around Christianity other than back in the 50s, there was things going on. But really, a lot of the churches we were took to as kids I grew up in, they didn't have supernatural and stuff and things going on. They didn't have that. They marveled about the things that happened in the 50s healing revivals, but they were never really a part of that. They would look at it and say, wow, is that something? Is it God or isn't? They didn't know. You know, people would go over, like my parents dabbled in it, you know, took us to things. And see, those are the things that I was interested in. But then you go back to church and they would really more or less speak against a lot of this stuff. So, you know, it's like, I never saw they talk about God was great. And I thought, well, when's he ever going to show up? Is he going to ever be great? You know, I'm not interested in reading about, you know, to me, in many ways, God in the church was no different than the gods of the Greeks and the Romans. They talked about these things. They worshiped their, you know, these events and that stuff. But they were none of the things were happening to them. They were just all these things of the past or their gods this. And the church was very much like that. It was a God that was great. But now, see, we're born again and he has to be great. We're just hanging on, you know. Well, how do you know he's great? Is the book true? Is it is. You know, a person could tell me how great they are. Well, I want to know what you can do. What can you do that's great? Can't do anything great, then you're not great. At least in my eyes, you're not. So, one of the things is dealing with that. Now, in the areas of tongues, really dealing with this is because we're dealing with something that is supernatural. It is not a natural event. One of the things that, you know, the Lord's been dealing with you about is in the areas of faith. A lot of people had trouble over in the areas of with tongues and these things because tongues in itself being spoken out in the through our natural mouth and things has become more of the view than the spiritual experience of why it happened. See, number one, the one thing that we need to and tell people they need it. We want people filled with the Spirit. Tongues is just the manifestation of that. Well, see, tongues became the issue, which means the devil has done a great work in getting the church and people focused on something else. See, I always watch the people and they come up, and I know ministering to people over the years. As I said last week, I was in a church where I was just a member of the church there. I wasn't, you know, a minister or anything like that. But God used to use me a lot to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, in doing that, I always noticed this immediately. Everybody was focused on the tongues. You got to get them off the tongue thing, on their focus. Tongues is a manifestation of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Holy Ghost by faith. Well, see, it's sort of the same thing. You have people and getting this in people's minds about healing. Healing's the same way. Everybody gets to focus on feeling well instead of faith in receiving their healing. So they're always looking over on the finish and never what they have to do to start. And faith is where you start. You receive the faith. And I found this out. You have to get people and get them to shut off the way they think. They're more interested in the manifestation. We understand this. If I can by faith receive my healing by faith, it'll manifest. See, when I found that out, that changed everything. Well, I knew I could get it. I knew it was going to manifest if I could take it by faith. Well, I knew this, that if I received by faith the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then I would speak in tongues. So the tongue part wasn't going to be hard because it would manifest as soon as I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And see, people do it the opposite. The tongues is first. It's the tongues. And everybody gets over and that stuff. And they don't realize we're dealing with a spiritual experience. Speaking in tongues is not a natural, it's not a mental thing. You know, Apostle Paul said, speaking in tongues, he said, the tongues, it wasn't your understanding. He said, you know, if I'm speaking in an unknown tongue, you know, my mind don't know what's going on. But see, we don't like that. You know, especially the more educational societies become, the more intellectual they become, the harder it is, it seems, for people to accept faith things. Now, it wouldn't have to be if we would have educational systems and even in the church world who would teach spiritual things along with other natural things. It would be easy, but we don't. We divide them. And people usually lean over to the mental side. And this is why the majority of the church world today, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. And it's because, and if you told them they get mad, it's their intellectualism. That's why they're intellectual. Because see, well, why would God have me speak a language I don't understand? It's because you're stupid and He wants to say something worthwhile. That's what I figured out. It ain't as bright as He'd like to think He is sometimes, you know? And God wants to do things. And what is it? See, when people teach, and like we have these teachings in the church world, God's in control. Well, if God is in control and, you know, He's running everything, well then, you know, I'm not responsible for things and I'm not. And so when we're dealing in these areas and men get these thinking, well, God's in control. Well, this stuff don't make sense. Well, see, when you have that kind of theology taught in a church, don't be surprised that faith is hard to reach things with. You can't, because, you know, things are happening, you know, God's doing this, you know, like, you know, most of the church world, you know, God had, you know, Charlie Kirk killed for a reason. You know, this is the church world. You know, God had to get Charlie killed so He could have a revival. He couldn't do it any other way. The preaching of the gospel don't work as good as killing, so I think we ought to start killing more Christians. We'd get a big revival. Like, go to Nigeria. They're killing Christians like crazy over there. Big revival. See, you get this stuff in your mind and you're thinking, you're closing the door to God's plan. You're closing it. See, people get over in these ways of their thinking, their natural mind. So we're going to judge what God's doing by what, well, God's in control. So He had to be in cahoots to kill. He had to be, we don't let that guy out of jail according to most church. No, we shouldn't be holding him. This is God's working, man. Why would we lock him up for doing the will of God? Killing Charlie. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think that a lot of these doctors you had in church were crazy, and I just can't believe all the adults would believe it today. When I was a kid, I thought they were nuts. But people, I don't see how adults believe this stuff. We have such contradiction. God is good. God killed Charlie. Charlie was a good man, so God kills. You know? The Bible teaches living a good life, you would live longer.
Yes, that's right.
That's what the Bible teaches. And this is good stuff, folks. See, I'm wondering how people think. You know, if you're godly, you know, it extends your life. Huh. Somebody should have told Charlie. Maybe he wasn't as good a man as they thought he was. But see, people get over here. Wrong teaching opens up the door to the devil when people believe it. It opens up the thief to steal, kill, and destroy. Wrong teaching. This is why it's going on in the areas of tongues. One of the things that I found out about in the areas of the supernatural is stepping into this area is the fact that there's things that I started picking up about things. I found out how, you know, times God was sparing my life. God was doing things to keep me away from trouble and away from harm. Because things like I didn't have before. I always use the things that the ones is back many years ago. You know, we were going to be heading down to we were going down to Florida, Disney World, over Christmas and New Year's many years ago with our kids. And we were in a motor home and driving down. And we left here in our area here. It was raining that morning, but the temperatures weren't below freezing. They weren't here in this area. But we went over in Carlisle, there was, but we didn't know about it. And basically nobody knew about it because the temperatures were up, but for some reason this one bridge had frozen over. But you know, it's picking things up. I'm driving along. Isn't a voice didn't speak to me. It just kept coming up on me. Slow down. Now, at that time, the interstate speed limits were 55. So, you know, I ain't buzzing along, you know, 80 miles an hour. It kept me to slow down. Well, you know, the 55 mile an hour speed limits were, people didn't obey them much, but, you know, they, but, you know, I'm driving along and I'm slowing down. I slowed down some. And then come on, kept coming to me, slow down. I'm thinking, see, I started thinking, you go over to natural and I'm thinking, you know, why would I slow down? I'm already going under the speed limit. And this really makes everybody happy if they come up, you know, when you're in the stuff, on the interstate. But it kept coming. Something on the inside of me was telling me, well, there was the witness of the Spirit inside of me. And I noticed, see, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, stuff like, I started recognizing things that I didn't recognize before, that I didn't. And I ended up slowing down, which was a very smart thing, because our trip could have gotten ended immediately if I hadn't. You see, God didn't put a sniper on the roof to shoot Ed that morning. God was trying to save Ed from a major accident. That when we came up on, if we would have been going 55 miles an hour, we would have ended our trip right there. It would have been over. There's all these cars out across the road. You hit ice. I know this. You don't slam on your brakes when you hit ice. That's why you end up in accidents. That's a good way to end up in a wreck. You do your best to steer yourself out of it. That's what you do your best at, because when you hit the brakes, you've lost all control. You don't have none anymore. And so I thank God if I slowed down. We drove right in between these cars and drove out on the other side without hitting a thing. And thank God. But it didn't just save my life. I'd never forget the one woman. To this day, I can see this Monte Carlo sitting across the road with this woman looking at this nice big motorhome coming at her. I'd probably killed her. You know, the motorhome, probably nothing would happen to us. But she'd have been killed. But it ended our vacation. It would have killed somebody, not slowing down. See, people don't, lots of times don't pay attention. See, that's the way I know God. I don't know this God that they teach. He's a big helper. And he operates outside of my mentality on things. He can do for me what I can't do, far beyond what education can teach me to do or anything like that. So this is why it's so important in these areas. Like no one would ever convince me of the tongues and that it's the devil, because I mean that just cracks me up, because it never did nothing bad for me. And I don't get how people think about it. See, it's one of the things we read last week. I did an opening about Kenneth Hagin wrote dealing with this subject. Really, the lack of teaching and lack of understanding. It's areas that are not educated. Most people talk about it from what they were told and really know very little scripturally about it. Even among spirit-filled people, don't know very much from a scriptural standpoint of things. They couldn't really sit down and explain to somebody why. They can't do that. We need to understand why. See, it's one of the things, I got filled with the Spirit listening to Kenneth Hagin talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. So I was listening to teaching, and you know what happened to me? I got faith. So therefore, when faith came, I thought, well, I don't have to wait to go to church to get somebody to lay hands on me. I can just receive this myself. I can just receive it by faith. And right there in my bedroom, I just said, praise God. And I said, I thank you right now, Lord God, you're filling me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know what happened? I didn't feel a thing. Ain't nothing, felt nothing. But you know what I did? See, I learned to operate by faith. I don't care how I feel or what goes on, whether it seems like it. I just said, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm full of the Holy Ghost now. Praise God. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. And then I said this. Well, if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, then I'll speak in other tongues. That's what's going to happen. And I started speaking in other tongues. But see, people don't knock the faith. You put tongues first, you're going to keep looking at tongues and trying to tongue and tongue, 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 and you never received the Holy Spirit. You don't ever believe you got it. See, you got to get your mind set in right thinking. Well, I was taught right about it. He sat around and talked about the necessity and the things of the Holy Spirit, why you want it. And I thought, well, I sure want this. Amen. And one thing I saw how God, he talked about how God manifests through him by being full of the Holy Ghost, what it did in his life. And I thought, man, I could sure use some of that. I could sure use that in my life. We want the supernatural. I believe it would be easy to convince people to the supernatural today outside of the church world because, number one, they like the supernatural. Most of the church don't. Most of the church world really don't like supernatural. They think everything supernatural happens, it's the devil, you know. You know, I found this out back in the charismatic renewal. You know who some of the people, the easiest ones to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Catholics. And the reason they were is because they believe in the supernatural. They ain't like the Protestants. They believe in the supernatural. You know? Hey, they got some crazy beliefs about supernatural. Well, at least they believe in it. The Protestant churches don't believe in squat. They're questioning anything and it happens. I've told people this. They say, well, the God, you know, something that makes you sick and the devil heals. I said, if I'm sick and the devil will heal me, I'll take it. I said, if God won't, then he can go jump. He ain't as good as he said he was. See, Christians don't think. They're not very bright. Religion is a dangerous thing because it steals, kills, and destroys. Because God don't start religions. He has a life thing running. And it's power. Hallelujah. You know, if Jesus was a manifestation of God in a man on earth, wouldn't we think that we should have something going on? I mean, think about it. He said, if you see me, we see the Father. Well, I guess we didn't see the Father then, and most of the church world don't believe in anything, so we didn't see the Father. God's changed. See, we get all these things, you know. Well, things are different today. No, they're not. Nothing's changed. Man's the same as he always was. Mm-hmm. We can believe God's word and act on it, or we can just follow our religious beliefs. We can go along with the crowd, do that. And that's one of the problems we have. Now, Jesus himself, one of the things that people come up and say, well, you know, Jesus didn't talk in tongues. And we need, you know, so why would we talk about Jesus didn't talk in tongues? Understand this. Jesus operated as a prophet in the Old Covenant. That's what he did. He was in the Old Covenant. He was the fulfiller of the law. We want to understand this about him. One of the things, though, we look at this is Jesus Christ himself said this. We know that with tongues, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. If we look in the Old Testament, 7 of those 9 manifestations operated through the Old Testament. You can see the prophets and different ones operated under those 7 of the 9 gifts. 2 of them they didn't, in tongues and interpretation. Those two deal with us on this side here under the church age. They deal with us. Now, I want you to understand about those gifts. When we talk about tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues and the Holy Spirit is not one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's not one of those. Because we know those gifts operate as the Spirit will. Because people don't understand that. People say, well, you know, God, he divides severally gifts as he wills, you know, so everybody don't talk in tongues. No, those gifts in operation, tongues and interpretation of tongues are manifestations of gifts to operate to minister to people. That's what they're for. The gifts of healing. Anybody, any Christian can by faith lay hands on people. But none of us can operate in gifts of healing without the Holy Spirit manifesting it through us. If you have a gift of healing, now let me say this. When a gift of healing is in operation, the person will be healed. It isn't whether they're in faith or not. They'll be healed. Well, what kind of gift didn't work? We need to understand that. Well, I can lay hands on people by faith, but there's no guarantee in laying hands on people by faith that everybody's going to be healed. There's going to have to be faith used in that for it to work. I can tell you about, I know about gifts operate through me. Like I've talked about a number of times where the gift of faith operated in through me. When the gift of faith goes into operation, Ed wasn't trying to believe a thing. Ed could not have not believed. It comes in, and it comes on you, and you just know that you know. And it comes up like me. It was to say a certain thing. And I just knew what I was supposed to say. And when I said it, it happened. Well, see, it wasn't my faith that brought. That was a gift of faith in operation. See, there's a huge difference. See, people don't divide because a lack of teaching in the body of Christ, everybody jumbles everything together and they come out with all these ideas. Well, the number one big help is learning to operate. I learned a long time ago, I don't do miracles. God does. Now, He may want to operate through me. That's fine. But He does miracles. I don't. Now, we lay hands on people and by faith and get healed. It's miraculous. But nonetheless, that's God. But it's our participation in it. See, some people don't understand. I've been around people already who've gotten healed, and they got healed by a gift of healing. And they said afterward, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Well, sure, their faith wasn't at all. It was a gift of healing, wasn't an operation. They couldn't. Now, God does that. He'll often say, well, why do you do that for them? I don't know. You talk to Him about that. Why He manifests the gift for certain people and sometimes ones He don't. You know? But people need to understand this. And the operation of faith, I love the operation of faith. Because I can get anything at any time. I don't have to wait till the Holy Spirit decides if He was going to manifest or not. And I found this out. The more I learned to use my faith personally for my life, the less He had to try to manifest something through me for me.
Amen.
See, when you do that. Well, as you know, I didn't have to wait to get to a special meeting, or I didn't have to wait. I could operate by faith. We need to understand this about tongues. When we're teaching this subject of tongues, I'm not teaching about gift of tongues and interpretation, because that's something that a person can operate after they get filled with the Spirit. The key to these spiritual gifts is being filled with the Holy Ghost. You will never go to churches who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and see the nine gifts of the Spirit ever manifest themselves through in people. They don't. They don't manifest. Because really, we need to understand this. That goes specifically with a certain thing. Now, and we'll just go on and teach on this more, but I just want to say this about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost was so important, and because we deal with wrong teaching in the Bible. On the day of Pentecost, there's people believe the church started at that time. No, it didn't. The church started by faith when the disciples... Do you think the disciples believed Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Well, did they believe Him Lord? I mean, they talked to Him about being Lord. This guy, He's raised from the dead. They're saved. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Jesus Himself breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what did they do? They received Him in the new birth through the Holy Spirit. You're born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost by Jesus. Because we're going to read what Jesus said. In His name, you'll speak in new tongues. The Holy Spirit baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. You get born again by the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Christ. See, when people don't understand, the day of Pentecost, do you think the disciples weren't saved believing on Jesus? They see Him leave, standing on the mountain, watch Him leave. Jesus says this to them, don't go anywhere. In other words, He had told them before about going and preaching the gospel. Go over and read it. He told it at the end of the gospel. He said, you guys go in the world, preach the gospel. Those who believe, He tells them to go. And then He tells them before He leaves, but don't you go till you receive power. He didn't say don't go till you get saved. He didn't go to say wait till you get born again. He said till you receive power. And I want you, this is something the Holy Spirit witnessed to me back, you know, 4 decades ago, witnessed to me the fact people shouldn't be going out and preaching without getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Because they will only give part of the gospel to people and part of the demonstrations of the glory of God. That's what they'll give. You want to have power. And this is what we see, when the church doesn't read the Scriptures, and when they don't study the Scriptures, then we get messed up. The whole point is, He said, don't go preach till you get power. Well, what do we have? When was Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost? And what did he do? Start preaching. And then they had demonstrations of the Spirit. See, we need to get a hold of this. Don't go till you have power. This is one of the things, we should not be waiting and waiting to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. We get people saved and send them off and, well, you know, good luck, whatever else, and wherever you're going to end up, church, maybe you'll follow God, maybe you won't. We need to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. But we don't preach it, we don't talk about it and stuff, and it just, You know, we end up with people, even born again, nice, good people. They're going to go to heaven, but they never walk or live in the power of God. But see, I found out when you can walk in the power of God, it also blesses your life. See, you can't go do the will of God and it won't bless your life. I mean, it's going to bless your life. I mean, that's just the way it works. So it blesses your life. And the more I found out that there's one thing about it. If you're not baptized, this is not critical to anybody. It's just the truth. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's revelations you'll never receive because there'll be no need to receive them. Because you wouldn't do anything about it anyhow or anything. You wouldn't walk in it anyway. There's things in scriptures you would just never know. You don't have a need to know. You're not going to walk in certain things. What would be the point of trying to? See, people are trying to learn things of the Spirit today they're never going to walk in or never going to do. And the Holy Ghost ain't in the business of revealing it. Why reveal it? You know, you can't believe tongues is of the devil and then you want all this other stuff. And they just, hold it. See, what we believe, and this is what I found out, the more I could understand over in the spirit realm and yield to it, the more revelations you could get to things. And I found out this is why many people, even who are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, never really go far in revelation with God. Because they don't ever use it, they don't ever walk in and use it. Until you do, there's no need for it.
That's right.
You know, people say today, well, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. How do you know you speak in tongues? That don't mean you're full with the Holy Ghost. That means you got full of the Holy Ghost one time and you spoke in tongues. But you have to maintain that. You ain't full of the Holy Ghost just because you got filled one time. I found this out. People get just as dead as they were before they got born again. They can get just as dead as could be, spiritually. See, because something happened one time, you know. I drank a glass of water one time, you know, but I don't see I'm always full of water, you know. If you want to stay full of water, you're going to have to keep drinking the water. You know, you're going to have to do something. Well, that's naturally speaking. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You know, I hear people go wrong and say, yeah, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know they're not. They spoke in tongues one time. They did get filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. But you know what? They won't speak in tongues again until they have an experience. And if they have they get some goosebumps or something like that going, then they'll speak in tongues. See, there's a lot of people believe that today, that you only speak in tongues if you get an unction to do it. Because they don't read the Bible.
That's right.
Because they don't study the Bible. They have their religious thinking. You know? There's people, they say, got filled. Well, they had this manifestation. No, you're going to have tongues. You're going to find out you have tongues when you speak, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to talk in tongues. That's what you're going to do. They did it in the Bible. I don't want another experience. I don't want another. If you don't have the Bible experience, you have no proof of what you got.
That's right.
Which from God. You don't have proof. You want to have Bible experiences. That's what you want to have. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's one thing about it. It's easy to get talked out of things when you don't really have a foundation of where it came from. I'm going to tell you, experiences themselves are wonderful. But, you know, when times get hard and tough, your past experience may not do much for you if you can't walk in faith now. I found people did this. I've watched people do this. This is why they don't walk in the Spirit-filled life. They are Spirit-filled. And then they just, I don't understand. God did this for me back yonder, but He don't now. It doesn't seem like, well, see, their experience back yonder ain't doing any good. It also makes them long for something they can't have. See, you don't want to be there. That's a lousy life. That's not a good life. You don't want to be in that place where, oh, I wish I could have had something. You know, I knew I had it back there. And how did you get it? I don't know. I've lost that. I don't know how I got going around. Maybe if I go to somebody else, maybe somebody lays hands on me, I can get it back. Maybe if something happens. See, you get away from the Word of God and faith flies away. It's gone. And you're trying to receive something on natural thought and everything, and it's not working. But see, if your foundation's in the Word, you can always go back, pick right up in faith again. Hallelujah. See, that's why it's wonderful. The Word's wonderful. Now, Jesus Christ Himself tells us about speaking in tongues. Before Jesus leaves, He tells the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel. He's going to go. So then He's going to talk to them about the things that would follow them in Mark 16. And I want to talk about the things that follow. We're going to go over that. We've been over these things many times, but I want you to see a relationship here. Because He said to them, these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, He said, they'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was raised up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now, the accompanying signs are the things that he said. What was going to take place? It was in his name. In other words, under the authority of his name, they were going to be able to cast out demons. Now, you need to understand that you have the authority to do that, to cast out demons. We've been given it. How? In the name of Jesus. We have been given that. So in his name, these things will operate. One of the things that he says is we'll speak in new tongues in his name. Now, this term here, it says speak with new tongues. The word tongues used in this is, if you look under the Strong's Concordance, it is the interpretation there of that, or the definition, is a naturally unacquired language. It's naturally unacquired. In other words, unacquired, it means it's not learned. It's not a learned language. Now, he makes the statement and said it's a naturally unacquired, but actually it's not natural because it comes from the spirit of man. It's not natural. It's natural that you and I speak. You know, we need to understand this about tongues. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. You and I do. The Holy Spirit don't speak in tongues. He doesn't speak in tongues. What he speaks through us. We're talking in tongues. We're talking in a language that we didn't acquire by learning. Now, you could say, let me put it back to this, and it might be helpful. Something, a revelation that the Lord gave me way back yonder in the 90s, is I was sitting in the early 90s, I was sitting and reading about the day of Pentecost. And I was sitting and looking and studying over some things that had to do with that. And it tells us there, in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that, you know, there was a rushing mighty wind, you know, there was manifestations of this happen, you know. I mean, if that was the day the church started, then we should have expected a mighty rushing wind to get saved, you know. I don't know. But anyhow, fire came down on each one. So the Holy Ghost and the baptism has to do with fire. It doesn't have to do with a dove. It's fire. We have too many dove Christians. Did you ever see how dumb a car dove is? Sit on the road, you drive down to all right on top of it. Doves aren't intelligent. You know, hunters learn this about doves. They'll take off and fly, and they'll do a circle and come right back to where they were. So just wait for them. They'll be back. Shoot. The doves are coming back. But they take, when Jesus baptized, it talks about, you know, there was a dove came down. And so they equate everything with the Holy Spirit as a dove. Well, the Holy Spirit's manifest in the Bible concerning water, fire, all kinds of different things. And we need to understand that tongues was about fire. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and the new birth to the woman at the well of Samaria. He said it was like a well of water. There's a whole different, and you'd think a well of water. Do you think any kind of raging power? You know. See, that's why you've got to study the Bible. It's really helpful to study the Bible. To find out, because things that are said to illustrate something to us. And if we just jumble it all together and sort of re-put it all together, and we don't really know what God's saying. But I got this revelation. When they started talking in tongues, there was these, goes on to tell the story of all the people, the different countries that were there in Jerusalem. It was normal on Pentecost for the people, the Jews that were in other nations, to come back and come back to the area, come back to the temple and that stuff. They would come back for Pentecost. But these ones were there. And it says this about they're talking in tongues, and some of them said, you know, they're drunk. You know, they don't know what they're drunk. But someone said, because they heard them, it says they heard them speaking in their own languages, all the different languages of the people who came back. They heard them speaking in their languages. Now, you know, I read that down through there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, he said, they didn't talk in all those languages. How could they all heard them all speaking in their own language? If they all were speaking in their language, then the other group, whatever language they were speaking in, the other groups wouldn't have known. He said, they heard them. He said, they were talking in tongues. And there were, the Lord said this. There was a manifestation of the Spirit that those people heard their own languages being said. That was the miracle of that thing. They all heard, but they weren't speaking in all their languages. It says they heard them speaking in... Now, I want you to think about this. It says there's a multitude there. These people are talking in tongues. And one guy over here speaking this language. Well, if he was, do you think all of them speaking there and this crowd going to town that they would have all been able to hear one person speaking their language? Probably not. Get in a crowd, it's hard for anybody to hear anything. It said they heard them speaking. You see, there's manifestations of the Spirit. See, the day of Pentecost was starting off with a manifestation. This is God's manifestation, not man's. We've taken the supernatural out of much to turn it into natural. We've robbed, instead of letting the Spirit teach, we have looked to what somebody else said about it. Because everybody said, well, they all heard him speak a tongue. They didn't make no deal of it. But I got over and thinking, and I saw, well, the Holy Ghost made a big deal out of me. Why? Because this is His working. And He's doing it because He's doing what Jesus Christ wants done. And see, when we turn around and tame things down and turn them into our natural, well, you know, this is why people come along and say, yeah, well, you know, sometimes people can speak supernaturally speak somebody else's language. You know, I know Brother Hagin talked about many times that he would speak in tongues and somebody, he would do an interpretation and somebody would say, well, they had heard him speak in a certain language. And sometimes I wonder, was he really speaking in that language or that's what they heard? God's moving, they heard. Did he really speak in that language? They heard. See, this is a move of God. The big part of that was when Brother Hagin did the translation, because what the guy heard, Brother Hagin's going to translate, is it going to be translated like the person heard? See, the Holy Spirit uses this as a miracle to get a hold of people. And time again, a person... I remember one time Brother Hagin talked about it. He said the guy said he spoke in a language that was a language that it's one of the dialects of a certain country that almost nobody knows today. And this guy said he spoke in it. And he said, man, I got to hear how he's going to interpret this thing. And he said he interpreted it just like, you know, it was said. The guy told Brother Hagin, you interpret that just like it said. You know, in other words, so these are both those manifestations of the Holy Spirit. This is the working of the Holy Spirit in doing these things. Now, the tongues and interpretation we're done in those are the manifestation of the gift of tongues and interpretation. That was not a personal. See, I can speak out in tongues from my personal life. Can I tell? See, sometimes I operate under tongues and interpretation. But that's the gift of tongues. It isn't my own. I'll just tell you this. When I speak out in tongues and interpretation, when I speak out in tongues, my tongue is usually a different tongue than I normally speak. It's a different tongue. It's not the same thing. It's different. Why? Because it's a different manifestation. That other one's out of my spirit, my personal life, my speaking out of tongues of my own human spirit. Tongues and interpretation is when I speak in tongues, that's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in a gift. It's not just, you see, they were having trouble. One of the things they were having trouble in the church at Corinth is people are talking tongues out of their own spirits. And so there wasn't interpretations for them. It wasn't tongues interpretation. In other words, you bring this thing into line. Now, there's one thing you can get acute where you pick up. Brother Hagin, I learned with him in doing this. Sometimes people speak out in tongues and it's their own spirit. Yet you can pick it up if you're keen enough of spirit at the time, you can pick up what they say. You can pick it up what they're saying. You'll pick up a gist of what they're saying. But it's not really the gift of tongues interpretations going on. It's just your spirit. You're picking things up in the other area of the spirit. But tongues interpretations are operated by the Holy Ghost. They're manifestations of gift. It operates as His Spirit wills. If tongues interpretation were just a thing where I could speak out in my tongues and anybody could do it at any time, seemed like they were doing that at the Church of Corinth, you know. They were taking tongues that really, were more for edification for themselves than manifestations to speaking to the body or speaking to people through God directly speaking to individuals about something. See, they're good things for us to know. I realize we don't talk about those things today. I thank God for sitting and learning with Brother Hagin. I learned to, over time, as I just learned to be keen, when I'd go to his meetings, I could tell when gifts were going to operate. I could pick it up in the spirit when he was going to do something. You learn to do that. Listen to things. Learn to pick up on that. See, we can, most people go along, they just didn't think anything's just happened. They don't just happen. People, you can pick things up in the spirit and know and understand what's going on and what's happening. You know, lots of times people, they don't know that. They think, well, they just, this person has a gift. When that gift goes into operation, you're a spiritual being. You can pick up things about that gift operation. You can pick stuff up. If you're in the spirit, if you know out of your spirit's in contact with the spirit realm, that thing goes on. There's things you can pick up. And so you got to learn to do that. Brother Hagin used to say, well, it was Brother Hagin. Well, no, it wasn't. I just learned from him about certain things you learn to yield to and learn to do, making your own spirit more sensitive to the things of the spirit and picking different things up. So you want to do that. But we find we're going to speak with new tongues. He said this. So the manifestations of these spirit, of these things have to do, they went and preached. So they preached the word about things. These were manifestation to confirm that the word was true. This is the word is true. So one of the things that I just want to say this today, tongues is an embarrassment even to the, a lot of the spirit-filled church to have tongues in manifestation. You know, it's just like I talked to a spirit-filled church, you know, the large church, and they talking about, well, the moves of the Spirit and different things like that. And I had said to them, to one of the pastors of the church, they were talking about, and I asked him, I just downright bunny asked him, I said, you guys ever have tongues interpretation in your church? Oh, he said yes, and I said, well, when's the last time you ever did that? And then you can't name a time because it was in ancient history, you know. It's on a scroll someplace. They write it down because they didn't have recordings in those days. But you know what? I said, you don't. I said, you don't have it. I said, you're ashamed of it. You're ashamed of it in your church. Now, think about this, what Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, he said, tongues are for the Israelis, a witness of the unbeliever. Tongues interpretation is a witness to the unbeliever. I said, how many of them believe that today? We want to keep them away from it. Now, see, correct tongues and interpretation. Prophecy, we find Paul writes and says this, that prophecy is given, and we do this, is giving prophecy. Anybody can hear what, everybody hears what prophecy said. Everybody can hear. But if prophecies are given for edification, exhortation, or comfort, in other words, in a church, that's general prophecy. That's not the gift of prophecy that operates through a prophet's ministry. A prophet will prophesy on another level, but in general, and that gift in manifestation through believers. Well, it says, you know, that edifies the whole body. That edifies everybody. But it says tongues in itself doesn't without interpretation. Spoken out, in a meeting, like you and I could all get to, if we know about tongues here, we could get together and we could stand here and all of us could pray in tongues. It wouldn't be a weird thing. But if you have people who don't understand that, it may be confusing to them. It'd be confusing to them. Well, see, but in other words, tongues with interpretation, in other words, tongues with interpretation is equal to prophecy. It's equal to prophecy. The tongues and interpretation. But you want to have the manifestation of those two gifts together. So we need to understand this is in the church world, dealing in the areas of tongues, is tongues can be a manifestation that God will bear witness with sinners about a supernatural thing taking place with proper tongues and interpretation. Now the church don't like it. We like to allocate tongues to a back room someplace. I'm going to tell you what, you send the Holy Ghost to the back room, don't worry, he will never show up in your front room, maybe again. We have too much in this church world today is doing that, allocating the move of God to some back room someplace, and we don't want to do that. See, these are things that we need, and the reason I'm talking about these, because we need to bring this stuff to the forefront. This is Bible. Bible that is not taught, that is not given. Tongues aren't that important. I just want to say to you this. If tongues aren't that important and God gave it and you don't believe it's very important, you're going to have some major problems in your life that the devil's going to have access to you. You can't set things aside and say, God steps on and put this ain't important, that ain't. See, they've done that today. This don't matter. You know, we don't have this stuff. No, we don't need this stuff. This is why a lot of things it gives access to the devil, that he does things of people's health and wealth and everything else. Because they minimize what God says. Well, we want the more important gifts. Well, the last time I checked, the Bible says about the least. Yeah. Well, it has. Jesus had some saying about, you know, if you're not faithful in the little, who's going to make you ruler over much? Everybody wants the big thing with no faith for the little. I believe God gave the tongues things just to find out where people were really going to be on faith. I really do. People don't understand that this so-called little gift that don't seem like much is going to determine how far people are going to go spiritually. Apostle Paul said he spoke in tongues more than he always. He's talking about his personal life. Brother Hagin, one thing I learned about him, prayed in tongues all the time. Brother Hagin would pray. I know from his relatives and family, different ones I got to know real well, they talk about Brother Hagin. They'd say it all the time. They said he could be sitting. He liked to watch baseball. He liked baseball some, and he would sit and watch a baseball game, and he said he'd be there, and he said you could tell he was speaking in tongues. He was going the whole time. He's watching this game. He said he had all the time. He said he's talking. So you can talk in tongues and do all kind of stuff, you know. So you can get your spirit in operation. But see, he became very, there's one thing that I learned about Brother Hagin, very spiritually keen. And that's why. He was always exercising his inner man, not his mind. His brain wasn't number one on the list. The reason we have such bad brains today is because we try to keeping our brains a number one on the list. You know, the most amazing things that I found out, you know, just reading here lately, all these things, you know, just like, you know, they have this thing with Tylenol and pregnancies. Do you know that report about that thing was out in 2018? Our government knew it. And the company that produces knew it. They just had the thing out. They knew it. See, we're living in today a scientific world that's a big lie. That is a big, huge lie. Our medical field, a lot of it is a big, huge lie. It's not about getting you healthy. It's about whether we like. People say, what? About making money. And don't. Hey, we have money invested in this stuff. And everybody likes to make a whole lot of money off their 401ks and stuff. And that makes you a whole lot of money. I found that's it. You can get rich hiding truth. Because these companies, you wouldn't have as much money in your 401k if they told the truth. But understand this, your health's probably going to pay for it. Now that isn't the only thing. I was just reading some things, things I read back years and years ago that they said about certain things. That now they're finally bringing it out off of studies that they have known about things for long decades. But keep selling us a bill of goods. See, I learned this. Follow God. Don't follow congressmen, Democrats, or Republicans. Let me say this. Charlie Kirk was a good man, but he wasn't God. And I will not worship him. You know, a lot of this going on today with Charlie Kirk is about politicians using him to advance their causes. You know, if I can get an advancement in this thing, I'll even use Jesus' name. Whatever I can use to get to where I want to go. I just want to tell them I arrived before Charlie was ever on the scene, so I don't have to use Charlie as a way to get somewhere. Hallelujah. And it's a shame. Thank God Charlie was a good man. He was doing, you know, whatever. But you know what? He's a man. He was a man. That's what he was. Amen. It's a shame things. And I'm going to tell you what. You know, the American people are the fault that this stuff goes on. Decide not to be spiritual and not to walk in it. American people are the trouble that this goes on. And we can throw rocks at each other and fight with each other and call each other on things about this stuff. You know, no matter how right you are, you could be completely right. You never convince the other guy screaming and yelling about it. You know, you ain't going to do it. You know, if one of the best things right now, all news media, if they shut it off, that'd be a really good thing. Because I don't know if any of them are really that good. To us, you know, if you want to pick a political side, good. You probably ain't. I don't think Jesus Christ is either a Democrat or Republican. I don't think so. I don't think he would back either party. What we need more is get into the areas of the supernatural and the places that change can be brought. We need to deal with demonic powers. Isn't it funny? The first thing on the list of Jesus' name under his was dealing with demons. See, they didn't have that in the Old Testament, dealing with demons. They didn't have authority over it. Satan wasn't defeated. See, this is something that we got. But if you actually look in most of the church world today, they don't deal with demonic stuff at all. You know, God do this. God change this. God do that. People don't recognize the fact. Demons, you know. All the stuff we have going on is demons operating in people. This is demonic powers. This is demons. People are yielded to them. We ought to see this. You know, we have a large portion of our population is heavily operating in demon power. Heavily. And then we have the other side that thinks they're real good, and they have a lot of religious demons and a lot of other kind of demons operating through them that keep all this contention going. Because neither side's dealing with the problem, demons. Because you can't cast demons out of other people when you're inviting them in. You know, you can't. When you're yielded to them, you know. See, we're dealing with things. You know, the first thing is like, I'll find out. Things try to get you to your flesh to yield to stuff. Because you see what's going on. It wants you to get downright mad about these things. There's nothing matter to be mad, but you better, you know, Bible says, you know, be angry and sin not. You know, you can be angry. But I'm going to tell you what, most people and most Christians, when they get angry, they'll sin. They'll sin. You know, right away, they'll want to think, you know, and do ill will, you know. You know, Jesus said, you're angry and sin not. You know, it said, love your enemies. Now, I want you to get this. Do you ever think about that? Anybody ever think about that? He said, love your enemies. So it ain't wrong to have enemies. Well, how could you love, if you didn't have any enemies, you wouldn't have any, love your enemies, would you? There's enemies. I will not, preachers never read the Bible. I'm amazed. It says, love your enemies. In other words, you have enemies. But act toward them in love. They're your enemy. They didn't quit being your enemy. No, you just act toward them in love. You don't respond to them the way they respond to you. How would you think it'd be different today? Now, one thing I was really pleased, we have a bunch of crazy people running around the Christian community trying to shoot and kill people. Thank God. I'm amazed because there's some, wouldn't be surprised if somebody would try to do something. But it's crazy. It's because we can't respond in that manner, which is good. You know, that don't mean that there's other people. I'm going to tell you what. There's people out here and there's groups that are just enemies of God. The Bible talks about it. Paul talked about people who are enemies of God. I guess God don't walk in love. You're an enemy. See, Christianity's all messed up on this love thing. They're so messed up. They, you know, I don't know hardly any good preachers today on these subjects. They're all extremists on things. Make you want to, you know, you're supposed to get your ukulele out and let's go back to the flower generation and let's have, you know, free love. What are you going to get, you know? Let's get back there. Let's go to that place. This is going to really work. Really worked great for them, didn't it? It doesn't. See, you love your enemy. Say the guy's your enemy. Okay. He's against you. You know. I wouldn't call Putin a friend. But you know what? I got to walk in love concerning him. You know? I got to want, you know, number one, we can't preach the gospel to people we don't love. This is one of the things. Is our enemies are going to have to hear the word, and they're not going to like it. Really, from you take the sample of the devil, that's what got Charlie in trouble. He went out to the enemies, and he did walk in love with them. He went out and told them the truth. Amen. And you know what? They remained his enemies. But he walked in love. Thank God he did. Hallelujah, that was good. Amen. You see, they don't the response here, but I think, well, you know, if I go out here and I'm, this is the idea of people. Well, if I walk and love somebody, then they're going to like me. Get over yourself. You're living in the real world.
Right.
You can be nice to somebody and things, and they may not, the response may not be at all. See, we need to know, we just follow what the Bible says. That's why when you know what the Word says, you just keep following the Word. And see, you can walk by faith in that. God will empower you to walk in that place as long as you know what the Word says. But if you try to do it in man's love and man's ideas, and this is one of the things we have today. Well, we just need to sit down and get people to reason together. Well, if you could do that, my God, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ nor get born again. You could just reason this thing out. I'm going to tell you what. The devil's kingdom don't get reasoned out.
That's right.
There's no reasoning with that. There was no reasoning in Ed till he got born again. That's what changed my life. See, the supernatural. Now, this might sound like this, what we're talking about tongues, but we need to understand this. Because our intellectualism has kept us away from the things of the supernatural that can really change stuff. Trying to respond to love. The church today has let the world write the definition of love. And know nothing about what the Scripture says about things. There's things that we don't teach out of the Scripture because it doesn't fit our Christianity. It doesn't fit things. But we understand this. I learned this over time. The only place that faith abounds in me is where I have knowledge of the Word. Not knowledge of what man says about stuff or what. No, faith will abound in me. There's power that operates in me when I get hooked to the Word. If I'm over, and we have expectations of things that God didn't have. You know, the lake of fire. I'm just going to tell you this. There's going to be more people that are going to be lost than saved. It's already on the book. There's more people in hell today than are in heaven today. See, this false Christianity, well, if we get this real spiritual, they're all going to turn. Let's say this. What would you think of if we had a move of God and a billion people got saved? Everybody say, that's great. Well, what about the other 8 billion? See, it'd be nice to see a billion people get saved. That would be wonderful. Wouldn't surprise me that'd take place. It would not surprise me that that would take place in this last day. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people going to march off after the Antichrist. There's a lot of the church world today. People who are born again are marching to a wrong tune. They're marching off to a thing. Wow, they have bought the world's idea, the idea of, you know, peace. Peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes. You know, it's like we're gonna do these things. Yes, we want peace in the world, but you know, there's one thing about it. I mean, thank God, I'm glad God's been able to use Trump the way that he has. But Trump's not going to bring peace to the world. No, but I thank God he's using him. You know, is sometimes, you know, he's a lone voice from a leadership in the world to stand up and say something. You know. Which is really, you know, of the fact that, you know, he went. Now, I want you guys to understand that, you know, we talk about, you know, great people in offices and stuff. You know, like we talk about people cheer like Ronald Reagan and stuff. You know, some of the trouble we have today came from Ronald Reagan. Well, that'll shake up a conservative. Well, it comes all down. Every Republican president and the Democratic presidents have done this. We have had illegals coming in our country. For decade after decade. And you know what they did every time with them? Well, instead of, well, yeah, we should deal with it, be putting out in it. But the ones that are here, we're going to let them stay. Ronald Reagan did it. I remember when he did it. And I thought, what do you do that for? Is people come in illegal? I remember George Bush, and him and his dad both did it. But George Bush, I remember him saying, I forget how many illegals there were in the nation. I tell you, there was only a couple million at that time. They said, well, they came in illegal, but we're just going to allow them to stay and they can be in the country. And I thought, you people keep doing this. And I thought, well, they did it with some millions and millions. And after a while, you get all of this and going. And now they come today and Trump comes along. It's like, this is a terrible man. He's the first guy that said no. All the rest of the Republicans had always said yes. The Republicans. The Republicans. Remember how the Republicans yelled about Obamacare? Well, when they didn't hold the House and the Senate, they voted 18 times to remove Obamacare. Trump's first election, they took back the House and the Senate, and the first vote to get rid of Obamacare, the Republicans wouldn't pass it. Don't you believe these? Look, folks, I know how. Look, sinners are going to be sinners. Sinners are going to be sinners. Sinners are liars. You know, I don't believe in campaign promises. I only want to see what you do. What have you been doing? And what do you do to get there? Don't tell me what you're going to do. Trump has astounded everybody. Because Trump's not a Republican. If he was, he wouldn't have kept 90% of his promises. Because the Republicans never have. Remember our Republicans here in Pennsylvania when he said they're ever going to change out of this, personal property tax. Yes! Vote us in! Voted them all in. What'd they do? Nothing. How many years have passed? What'd they do? Nothing. No. But they ran on that for decades, what they were going to do. And they had the House and the Senate, and they never did change. See, one of the things I want to talk about this, and I want to say to you this morning, when we deal with about getting over into tongues, praying in tongues will change you. It'll change you out of your natural thinking and going along. You know, it changed me in the inside where what was spiritually, because praying in tongues, building myself up in my most holy faith, it changed the way my mind thought. Amen. You can't renew your mind without getting in contact with your spirit. You can't do it. This is why Christians have such a hard time fighting change in thought. See, the stronger my spirit became, the more easily it was to change the way I thought.
Amen.
But when my thought becomes the run of my life and my spirit is held down in weakness, I'll mostly run over the natural things and I'll follow. If you want to become spiritual, see, tongues is the key for us as an individual. I'll tell you what, I'm more interested in my personal life from the standpoint of being able to follow God. Amen. Doing the will of God. I want to think God's thoughts. I want to be able to go to the Word, and I want to get these revelations that I never hear anybody ever preach. That's right there. We've been preaching about it, but never telling the whole truth about it. For years and years and decades, I've sat under teaching, and nobody's telling. I say, hold it. The Bible don't teach that. We've magnified men too much. When I see revelation always does this to me, it shows me how great God is. It always shows me how bright He is and how smart He is, how intellectual He is, and how if I don't think like He is, I'll be just dumb like everybody else. And the only way to get wise is through Him. It's through His wisdom. It's not my great thoughts. I don't have many of those. I don't have these great thoughts. There isn't a light bulb goes off up here. You know, the electric's been shut off up there for a long time. But the revelations. I'm amazed. I'm amazed sometimes revelation. God will speak to me and give me revelations about things. And I stop and think, I've studied that for years. And all of a sudden this thing comes to me and I all of a sudden see it. I go over and start studying. And I think, my God, it is like that, isn't it? And that always astounds me. I thought, all the time, I always go through this. All the time I've read this stuff, all the time I've seen this stuff, this has to be God because Ed can't think that smart. I'm not that. This is revelation from heaven. This is God. See, we need to come back there to the fact of this. We're wise because of God. He's put wisdom in us. You and I today, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit wants to say something through us in language we don't understand. Why are we so back off from it? Why are we so back off from it? God. This is God. Wanting to manifest and get me to speak words in this earth. I'm going to say this to you. This came to me, just the Holy Ghost. The reason many prayers are not answered. Because God, your prayers aren't in a perfect way. And God wants you to pray some things out in tongues. that'll bring things to pass greater than you thought. But you'll only pray from your natural mind. You'll only pray. See, we can pray out things that are beyond our understanding. God ain't going to have us pray out things that are going to kill, steal, and destroy. It's about things to bring blessing to this earth. Blessing to us. Hallelujah. That's why what we preach and what we say about these things are so, so important. This is so important today, you and I. God wants to do supernatural. Supernatural. As I want to think about it, we're going to have communion. Just think about your communion. What seems such a simple thing as communion? This is a supernatural thing we're a partaker of. You're a partaker of God Himself. You're bought by God and owned by God. You know, I always hear, you know, this thing in Christians and even in songs, you know, they sing about giving yourself to God. You belong to Him. You're born of God. I'm not trying to give myself to Him. What I want to do is bring my flesh under. That's the big battle. And bringing the flesh under, it has to do with your mind. You know, as your mind gets renewed right by the Word, it's easier to bring your flesh under. You'll find that that is. If we're struggling with the flesh, it's because of unrenewed mind. I can tell you, if I know. It isn't lots of times that people, what they need is revelation and what they think. They're fighting with their flesh and doing through the natural what requires spiritual understanding and knowledge to bring under. And so they fight and fight and fight instead of taking the time to do what it takes spiritually. And it's all because of this thing, of this Jesus. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus. See, I like songs. We were singing songs about Jesus this morning. I love songs about Jesus. Because I wouldn't be nowhere without Jesus. That Jesus, you know. We do sing, and I understand people sing with God a lot. And today the songs are a lot of God stuff. Just God, God. Let's identify Him. I like what Paul prayed at the church of Ephesus in the third chapter. And he said he bows his knee to the Father of his Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. He identified what God he was talking about. See, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the God we're going to be talking about. So this is what we're going to. This Jesus. This Jesus and his shed blood, he bought us. We're owned by God. You're a dynamic spiritual being. You're an outstanding, you are born in the likeness of an image of God. You're in a position Adam would have loved to have been in. Adam was not in. Adam was in innocence. One sin destroyed it all. Aren't you glad? We sin, we confess our sin, He's faithful. We're on such a dynamic plane. And the world, and the church is trying to get back to something else. No, let's go on to something else. Let's go ahead to something more glorious of what we are. You're a spiritual being. You're like God. You have the ability to fulfill the will of God. It's not something you're trying to get. You have it. It is within your nature to do it. And see, when we take this communion, it's who we're hooked to. We're glorified. It's because of Jesus. None of this happened in my life because of Ed. The only responsibility I had in this was that I had the choice to receive it or not receive it. That was it. But everything that came out of it came from Him. He changed my life. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. And you know what? He didn't ask me to pay none of it. It's a phenomenal thing. It is so easy. Hallelujah. See, you're one with His body today. Just as if you died for your sin. You didn't pay any punishment for your sin at all. Ain't that something? You and I have the glory of heaven in being with God in our future. A new heaven and a new earth. All of that is based on all we did is believe what He did. And He's not asking you for your checkbook. God never asked me for my checkbook. I give it.
Amen.
Oh, just tell me what to write it out for.
Amen.
Amen. See, he's not asking you. We don't give money. We're not paying. This is something I want to give. I want to do this. I want to do. Wow, I'm so blessed. Mm-hmm. The blood that He shed on that cross, it paid for my redemption. For it. I'm belong to God. I'm paid for it. The devil don't own me. This world don't own me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All they try to act like they do, they don't know. This government don't own me.
Amen.
I'm owned by God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm a slave by choice.
Amen.
I'm a bond servant. A bond servant was a slave by choice. He chose to be. I choose to work for him. I just choose it. I don't, you know what? He never told me I had to. I made a choice I wanted to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to have the one to. I don't want to be the guy that has to be beat with a stick to make to do what's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We belong to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we go today to these elements of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I am just so thankful for Jesus. Lord God, Lord, I can just, it's from a scripture in Revelation when the Lamb comes out and the elders throw their crowns down. Hallelujah. Because He's the Lamb that was slain. He's the one. We're saved because of Him. And I just want to thank You as we take these elements today. Lord God, what a Master we have. What a Savior we got. Hallelujah. What He's given to us. Lord God, I just want to thank You. Lord, we ask You if there's anything that we need or want. Is we want to go higher so we can walk in Your will and in Your plans and purposes. Lord, You have blessing for humanity in this last day. You look in this world, Lord God, You have a lot of enemies, but You still walk in love. You have a lot at work against You, but You still send people to preach the gospel to try to reach them. You're phenomenal. Jesus, You were willing for all to take on the sin of all, to pay the penalty for all. Lord Jesus, it is a phenomenal thing. All Your enemies You died for. And I was sure one of them. But You died. And were raised from the dead so I could be justified in the presence of God. What a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Lord, we just don't know as the scriptures, you know. Nobody's going to die for a righteous man. And maybe for a good person, someone might. But they might not. Jesus, You took the cross and all You had was enemies. All was working against You. Hallelujah. But Your love abounded toward us. And Father, I just want to say thank You. I'm so glad we have such a wonderful Father in heaven. And so much a wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, an elder brother who deserves to be glorified and magnified. And such a great Holy Spirit who lives in us, who takes all that belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. And we just thank You today, Father, that we have all these things. This was all given to us, hallelujah, without cost. And we just want to say thank You for loving us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to hand out the elements.